Tapping the Keg Daily is live for Friday. It is March 15th, the Ides of March. We're talking Marquette's big win over Villanova. We're talking Milwaukee Bucks win over the Philadelphia 76ers. Basically, the city of Milwaukee owns the city of Philadelphia. That's the facts. That's exactly what it is. We will talk about both. It's going to be a quick show. I'll explain why in a second here. But before we get going, make sure you're following along on social media, Tapping the Keg on X/Twitter, Tapping the Keg Sports, Instagram, as well as TikTok. Make sure we got to get the review up on TikTok and Instagram a little later today, this morning. Then make sure that you are subscribed to the pod, Apple, Spotify, wherever else you get it. Great time to do it. We'll have a lot of podcasts. We have some guests next week. Yeah, we got a lot of things in motion. It's going to be a big week for us next week. I'm excited for it. Make sure that you are tuned in, and that's more reason to subscribe. Leave a review if you feel so kind, or just tell your friends in the group chat. We'll actually take the latter versus the former. All right. Let's get into it and talk about Marquette and Villanova. Before we get going, just a reminder, this is going to be a shorter show. I don't know how long. Might only be 20 minutes. Partly the reason why is because I'm on quite a time crunch. I love my parents. I will always love my parents. Parents are a little older. They do not understand that Ubers can pick them up from the airport. I picked them up at, I think it was like 12:40 last night, and got in back to my house at like 1:30, 1:35. So your boy needs to get a sweat in before work and everything else. So yeah, it's a complete fucking mess. Not usually what I like to do on Fridays, but that's okay. We embrace, you know, sometimes you're out of your routine, and that's what you got to do. You know, sometimes Tyler Kulak's out with an injury, and you just got to figure out a way to win basketball games. And that is exactly what Marquette did. And Marquette beats Villanova. They beat him in overtime. And it shouldn't have been overtime. It should not have even went to overtime. Because Cam Jones hit potentially one of the best shots in Big East history. I mean, the play call itself, everything, the emotions. We were streaming on PSF app, which we are going to do a pregame show for Providence and Marquette tonight. So make sure to check that out. But the Cam shot was fucking incredible. I mean, the play call was amazing from Shaka Smart. They basically did at 2.3 left on the clock. I wonder if, or it was 2.8? No. They had 2.3 because they caught it in bounds. They set up the play, and it's a absolutely beautiful play, and it needed to be 2.4. I still think he got it off. I just, it seemed very fishy. And I know you don't want to say that as a fan, because that sounds so like, blame the refs. But Villanova got fouls like three times down in overtime. It was almost like the referees looked at it and were like, we can't have this team from Milwaukee be in the Big East semifinal when we have three teams from the Northeast. Like, how great would it be to be Providence, Villanova, UConn, St. John's, original four Big East teams. Like, you know, Fanta would cream his pants about that. I love John Fanta, but like, let's just be real. And I was like, and Marquette was like, nah, that isn't happening. They win in overtime. They defy the odds, and they are now moving on to the semifinals. And they are learning to win without Tyler Kulak. Now, I know what you'd say. You're like, Charlie, we want Tyler Kulak back. Tyler Kulak is, you know, one of the best players, an All-American, if not a fringe All-American. Like, Tyler Kulak is what makes this team go. I completely agree with you, but I think the fact that they have figured out how to win without him is massive for the success and the trajectory of this team in the next 3 weeks. Because I think that when you have a superstar, you see this with the Bucks too. You see, when you have a superstar, you rely on that person when things aren't going right. You're like, Tyler, save us. Just like we see the Bucks, like Giannis, save us. Now, it's a little different now with Dame there, but pre-Dame, that was kind of it. It's like that guy had to save you every time. And when things were kind of going off the rails, you needed him to get that layup or get that three-pointer or make that key pass. And Marquette hasn't had that. And they've had to figure out how to win without Tyler Kolek. And they've done that now two straight games, both away from home. I think that that speaks volumes to this Golden Eagles team and the grit and the resolve. You know, after that Butler game, I kind of criticized this team to say they had lost their grit. And I don't deny that. I still stand by that. But the fact that they dug down deep and refused to lose this basketball game. And even though Villanova came back, even though Villanova made a surge, they never really made that big run at the end. That Marquette always had something for them defensively or always found the key bucket and were able to not only force it to overtime, but score a little bit more with big shots from David Joplin, big balls Chase Ross, as Shaka Smart called him in the locker room after the game. And Marquette wins that basketball game. And now they move on not to play Creighton, but to play Providence because Creighton choked on their lunch. Creighton's running from the game. They're afraid of Marquette. No, I'm kidding. But it's a big thing because Marquette's kind of locked into the two seed and the rest of the way is house money. Creighton losing to Providence as well as Duke losing to NC State really makes me hard-pressed to think Marquette will not be a two seed. Now, could someone say, all right, Iowa State, Baylor both get two seeds because they love the Big 12 and what the Big 12 is? I will say that Baylor has a really good non-conference schedule. Iowa State's is completely fugazi. Iowa State should not be rewarded for the Mickey Mouse schedule that they had in non-con, right? And they play tonight. And to me, that was what we expected that could happen in the Big East. We talked about that earlier this week. So that, to me, is a battle for a two seed, right? Like that to me is the two seed conversation. It's like, okay, winner of that game gets a two seed. Tennessee, I think, is more battling for a one seed with North Carolina. And I actually think Tennessee has a much better case if they do win the SEC because of how bad the ACC looks right now, right? Like Duke goes out, Virginia's there, but if North Carolina goes through Pitt and Virginia to win the ACC, do they really deserve that one seed? I like North Carolina a lot, but I think the ACC is completely fraudulent.
Need a little more coffee there. But I don't get it, right? So you have North Carolina, you have Tennessee. Again, Iowa State or Baylor, pick your poison. And then you have Marquette. And I think actually Marquette could, the one thing they could do is they could push themselves ahead of the Big 12 and say, all right, especially if they were to beat UConn, which I know is very, very difficult to beat the UConn Huskies. That is not easy. That is not exactly something that most teams do. They've lost three games total. They are one of the best teams in college basketball. But you have, I think that if Marquette and or if UConn wins, Marquette's going to want their revenge on the Huskies. They're going to want to find the ability to try to beat UConn in there. Joe Lunardi, I just looked at him quick. I know we've went away from those kind of guys. It's Marquette, Iowa State, Tennessee, and Arizona. I forgot about Arizona. Arizona's another team that could get the West for North Carolina. I think that will be the discussion. If Arizona wins out in the Pac-12, maybe they get the one, Carolina the two. But yeah, I feel like Carolina, Tennessee, Arizona are all sort of in this group. And then I think it's Iowa State and Marquette. And Marquette still might get that low two seed because that would mean Purdue and would mean Marquette and Purdue in the Midwest versus Marquette and UConn in the East. And there's no way they will place Marquette in the East. They maybe would go to the South with Marquette, but then that would devalue Tennessee. I think Tennessee would have to lose their first round game. And I think they play Mississippi State today. So if they lost to Mississippi State, maybe that's a conversation. But I think that's all, you know, on the table. So going back to
you know, where Marquette is here and banging down the door and kind of getting, you know, into the game a little bit more as we talk about the macro of it all and talk about just, you know, what Marquette did last night and the performance of it all. I really, Stevie Jones, man, or Stevie Jones, that's a comment. Stevie Mitchell was great. 15 points for Mitchell, 6 of 8 from the floor. He made 3 free throws. He also had 5 rebounds, 3 steals. As I've called him before, he's a super glue guy. He's not just a glue guy. He is a super glue guy. And Mitchell was incredible in this basketball game. He is a guy that just every time you need a big bucket, Stevie Mitchell's there. And that goes back to the winning without Tyler Kolek, right? I don't know if we had that in Stevie Mitchell pre-Kolek injury, right? A little bit here and there, but he is just always on the spot. And you think about March Madness, you think about those moments in March are those guys coming up and making those big plays, doing the little things. The attention to detail that Stevie Mitchell has is unparalleled. It is unlike anybody I've really seen in college basketball. And I know maybe that's hyperbole, but I truly believe that. And he played great. And he gets the MVP from KenPom, which I think might be his first. But he was just truly phenomenal in this basketball game. And I felt like what he was able to do was really special. David Joplin had 14 points. He had some big shots in that overtime period. He hits the corner three in overtime. He gets the foul line in overtime. Job had like everything left in him. And I think one of the things about David Joplin that is different from last year to this year is when David Joplin would struggle early on last year, it would be a complete shit show the rest of the way. And he would really struggle. And that was just one of those things that he just, you know, he would lose his confidence. This year, if he has a bad start, it's not necessarily the end of the world for David Joplin. David Joplin's okay with it. David Joplin can figure it out. And he continues to keep fighting. And so the 14 points from David Joplin, he actually had 8 rebounds in this game. Wow. David Joplin close to a double-double. 7 rebounds for David Joplin on the defensive side of the basketball. It's a lot for Jop. So 14 and 8, I mean, that is it's a good stat line. That's a stat line you want. And as we mentioned, Chase Ross, Cam Jones, obviously, you know, didn't necessarily have the game that maybe he had against, you know, Xavier, but still found those moments, found those opportunities, pulled down 6 rebounds, had 4 assists on top of the 18 points. Oso Udara had a really rough game. I don't know if it was a body clock thing. I don't know if it was nerves. I don't know if it was just, you know, maybe the way that, you know, Madison Square Garden is defending Eric Dixon, who had 19 points in this game. Like, I don't know, right? Like, maybe that exerted a lot of energy. And we've seen that, right? I think PJ Tucker is our North Star on the example of if you exert too much energy defensively, it hurts your offensive game. We need Oso to be better tonight. That's just point blank easy. And Oso really, really struggled in this basketball game, but hit the biggest shot when it mattered. He got the ball, 4 seconds left on the shot clock. I thought they were fucked in overtime, and Oso just calmly gets down there, hits a hook shot, his first made field goal the entire game. And they needed it, and Oso delivered. So credit to him for sticking with it, for not wanting the ball late. He wanted the ball late, and even though he had struggled the entire game, he still found it. So I'm not ready to just completely give up on the idea that Oso's, you know, lost for this tournament, right, or anything like that. Of course not. You know, he has another tough matchup with Odoro tonight. Odoro's a massive man. And so that will be a challenge. And I think they just need to get Oso some quick, easy opportunities. and get him going. I would watch for some early pick and roll stuff with Oso to see if they can kind of get him rolling, get his confidence back up. Definitely something I'm watching for as we, you know, go into tonight. And let's talk a little bit about tonight. I will say we are doing a preview on PSF before. I haven't decided time-wise. I have something at 6:30, so probably needs to be like a 5:30 show with Josh and I, and we'll talk about just everything that's going on. I don't know if Josh can. I think Josh can make it, but if he can't, it'll just be me. So it'd be kind of like an add-on to what you hear on this podcast, which so more than enough reason to download the PSF app and check that out and watch that to kind of get yourself ready for Marquette Providence. But we will talk a little bit Marquette Providence prior to the matchup between Providence that Marquette, you know, beat the shit out of Providence a couple weeks ago in at the Fiserv Forum. They lost to Providence when Providence coincidentally beat the shit out of them in December. So something has to give. Providence is probably in the tournament. Providence can punch their ticket if they win tonight. Like, Providence will be in the NCAA tournament if they beat Marquette tonight. They will leave no doubt. There will be maybe somewhat of a doubt if they do lose to the Golden Eagles. Marquette and Providence have a healthy sort of rivalry. And so Marquette putting away Providence, I think they would relish that fact. They would relish that opportunity. The biggest thing in this game will come down to two things. How much Providence turns over the basketball. They are eighth in the Big East in terms of turnover percentage. Marquette's first in terms of forcing it. And how much will Providence be able to shoot the three? Marquette gives up a lot of threes. They play a drop. They pack the paint. And Providence shoots a lot of threes. So if Providence is on from deep, that could be an issue. Now, Providence also gives up. They don't give up a lot of threes, but they give up a lot in terms of point distribution because their three-point percentage or three-point defense is not exactly the best. And Marquette's is one of the best. So the question is can Marquette, you know, make the threes that Providence can't? This is also going to be a very big free throw game. Both teams have struggled from the line in Big East play. Marquette's actually the worst in the Big East at 69%. Could be their death sentence come tournament time. Providence isn't much better at 71%. And I know they made a ton of free throws yesterday. And my father, again, the guy I picked up from the airport, always had a line of the law of large averages. And that sometimes tends to even out. So I'll be very curious to see if that kind of rears its ugly head for Providence and that they don't make the free throws. Providence is a very physical team, just like Villanova. I think how this game is reffed will be very interesting. At Big East refs, I always have issues with. So it won't be a surprise if that's the case. Can they do it without Kolick again? I don't think Tyler Kolick's going to be back in this game. I don't expect him to be. You'll probably have that announcement. I don't know anything on that. That's just my assumption because, again, this is a house money game. And then will be the determination against UConn, do you want Tyler Kolick back? And I think Tyler Kolick will fight like hell to play against UConn if they were to advance and UConn were to win. UConn is St. John's. That game is going to be awesome. I am very excited for UConn St. John's. I think that's going to be a great game in the Garden, 5:30 early start time. And that's the other thing. That's the last part here, and then I want to talk a little bit about the Bucks before I get out of here, is this game's earlier than it should be. Last year, the second Big East tournament game was at, I believe, 8:30. So I believe last year when they did the Big East tournament, it was an 8:30 time. And it's been bumped up because Fox wants a game on their network, which honestly, you know, makes sense, right? We talk all the time about how sports is the only thing that does ratings, right? So yeah, last year, okay, so they're bumping it up an hour early. So I'm a little inaccurate. So last year, the Marquette UConn game started at 5:30 and the Xavier Creighton game started at 8:00. So
It's only an hour early, so maybe it's not as bad as I'm being a little dramatic. Who would have thought? But so that game would be, so yeah, they've bumped it an hour. The body clock for Marquette, that is, I think, a massive worry, a massive concern if Marquette will, you know, have enough, right? Will they have the stamina to play the game? And if Kulik does play, if he does play and I'm completely wrong about it, I think the reason why is because Marquette needs some fresh legs. And maybe it's just a load management thing. And maybe they just say, okay, we're only going to play X, Y, and Z. And then you're on the bench, right? You're only going to play 20 minutes. We're going to have you for the big moments. But yeah, I do worry about sort of the bench minutes. You're going to need something from Trey Norman. You're going to need something from Zaid Lowery. Because Cam Jones played 40 minutes. Oso played 40 minutes. Stevie played 40 minutes. David Joplin played 35. So those guys now have the quick turnaround time. I think you're going to ask a lot of your bench tonight. And you're going to need that bench to be special. And that's especially early on in the game. I think, you know, kind of keeping the reserves and just making sure that you are maybe a little more bench focused. That's probably what Marquette's going to need to do to win this game. I think Marquette still wins. I think it's close. I think it'll be down to the wire. But I think the Golden Eagles win another tight one. And we see UConn on Saturday for the right to go back-to-back in the Big East tournament. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Bucks, and then we'll ride out of here. The Milwaukee Bucks bounce back from their loss against the Sacramento Kings, beating the Philadelphia 76ers 114-105. I was able to watch the highlights. I watched most of the game. I had it as a second screen with the Providence-Creighton game as I kind of was tuned into both. But really a good finish for the Milwaukee Bucks. It looked like things were potentially going sideways for the Bucks, and then they really came on strong in that fourth quarter, outscoring the Sixers 34-22 in that final period. I don't know if panic buttons would have been pushed, but if they were to lose that game, that Bucks would then be, what, losers of four of their last five. The Sixers have been pretty rough since the departure of Joel Embiid, so that would have definitely stung. But the guy who changed everything was A.J. Green. A.J. Green, 14 points in 28 minutes, 5 boards, 3 made threes, also put the clamps on Tyrese Maxey in the fourth quarter. A.J. Green basically earned himself a spot on the bench. And the question is where will that continue? Will that be something that is a thing? I think everybody at this point is banging the drum for A.J. Green. And I also would argue A.J. Green kicked down the door to being a regular starter for this team. Now, one of the things that I had theorized with Mitch on yesterday's show, when we talked about the Bucks and pace and everything like that, and you don't really worry about pace with the Sixers. They play Nurse plays a pretty slow style. I would say they're a little more up-tempo because they don't have Joel Embiid, right? Like, that's natural. They don't have Embiid, so of course they're a little slower that or a little faster, excuse me, than they would be with Embiid. So one of my theories was I wonder if they're waiting to test out some of the young guys and when they get at home, because you're better at home, you're more effective at home as a role player. But these are the most minutes that A.J. Green has had, I think, I want to say maybe all season. If you look at the game logs, yeah, this is the most that A.J. Green has played. This is a season high in minutes at 28. He had 22 against the Clippers, where he was very good against the Clippers. He did not play in two of the four games on the road, only played really in the blowouts in Sacramento and Golden State. I think that at this point, Doc Rivers has to infuse A.J. Green more often. I don't know. You don't necessarily need to make A.J. Green a starter. Who knows what Chris Middleton's status is. But A.J. Green has definitely earned a lion's share of minutes out on that wing. He is a vital part to what the Bucks need to do on both sides of the ball. He really helps Milwaukee. And he is a underrated player. He's kind of a Miami Heat-like player. And I say that in the sense that diamond in the rough. Who is this guy? This guy, you know, the AJ Green game in the second round of the playoffs is going to hit differently. Like, Doc just has to play him. And I really hope that with a, you know, a bunch of home games, the next 10 of 13, now would that be 9 of 12? I can do math. 9 of 12 are still at home. So that should give you ample opportunity. You also have you have a day of practice on Saturday. I'm sure they'll take off and chill tonight. But they'll get a day of practice on Friday or Saturday to kind of say, all right, more AJ Green, less maybe Danilo Gallinari, less Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder actually didn't have a bad game, though. It was a nice Jay Crowder game, all things considered. But less of those guys and more of AJ Green. Maybe a small ball lineup with Giannis at the five, which they haven't done a ton of. But maybe, you know, to get, you know, more guys, more minutes, right? Take away from some of the Brook stuff, which I have Brook again, another guy who played, I thought, pretty well last night. This game for the Bucks was just a solid win. I think that there is, you know, the Bucks were also very good from three in the game, 16 of 36, 44%, made their free throws, did what they needed to do. The Sixers were hot from three, but they definitely cooled off as the game went on. They were 40% as well. So they just didn't necessarily get to the free throw line. And that's, I think, where the Bucks are going to win some games. You know, they had 10 more free throws than the Sixers did. They made, 10 more than the Sixers did. I think that that's stuff that's going to matter in this one. But really, it was only Maxey that stepped up for them. And the fact that the Bucks were able to cut off Maxey in the fourth quarter, they had no answer. They had absolutely no fucking answer for the Bucks and what the Bucks were doing. And the refs were an abomination. I think it's fun. If you were watching both the Bucks and Marquette, it was, you thought the refs were bad in the NBA, and then you saw the Big East refs, and you're like, oh shit, maybe I need to like recalibrate my thoughts about the officiating in the NBA. It's kind of like when I was watching the Horizon? So I watched the Horizon League, and they were like worse than the Big East. And it's like, I think it's like sort of a pathway down where you're like, you think this is bad, watch this. You think this is bad, watch this. Maybe that'd be Succession. But anyways, it was a great win for the Bucks. They now will take on the Phoenix Suns on Sunday. And hopefully we get more AJ Green. You have to play AJ Green on St. Patrick's Day. Yeah, like that's a given, right? So hopefully that's the case. All right. We'll be back. I may do a show Saturday to talk Marquette UConn. I haven't decided just yet if we're going to do a show on Saturday to just kind of have a show in the moment, talk about the game. So TBD if Marquette were to win or even to lose. But yeah, we may be back Saturday. Certainly we'll be back Sunday. We are going to be picking the bracket with Shea Ken. TBD if Mitch is going to join us. We had a lot of fun with that last year. If it's just Shea Ken and I have a fun sort of way to determine ones we disagree on. Because he's a hater, we're probably not going to get Marquette far, but that's okay. I'll try to convince him. I will try to win the way that I have it, so that set up that we're going at it. And then we're going to have a new guest on Tuesday's show, my guy Sice, who will be new to the program, will help you in terms of bracket filling out, in terms of bets you should make. He is a very savvy guy, won some FanDuel contests, so we'll talk about that. I may ask him some DJ questions to another, but he's a former DJ. We'll see if maybe there's a comeback in him as well. So, all right. That will be this week. Mitch also, too, will be here for me with Bucks Celtics on Wednesday night. We'll be recapping that game right after. We're like a full-fledged media network here, guys. Gotta fucking love it. All right. Take care of yourself. Have a good weekend. Stay safe, okay? Don't drive drunk. Don't do anything stupid. Just don't be a hero, okay? Just drink your green beer. Get home safely. Do all the things you need to do. That's the most important thing. And make sure you know your limits, all right? We don't need anybody, you know, just being too drunk because it's St. Patrick's Day, right? All right. That's your PSA. Take care of yourself. Have a good one. Go Marquette. We'll see you on Saturday or Monday. See you. Bye.